can show you how to. And when will you be then? You'll belong to the Mary Marble Marching Society. March along, march along, march along to the song of the Mary Marble Marching Society. If you growl, if you groan, with the dour sour outlook, if you howl, if you moan, you can lose your sour throat, but keeping trim and in step with the vim and thump of the Mary Marble Marching Society.
Be an early riser,
strive to be ambitious,
speak a little wiser,
try to be judicious,
be a good advisor,
never ever vicious.
Front! Lift your head! You're on the winning team!
You belong.
Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book store. We're broadcasting here on 93.3 CFMU-FM and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your cosmic heralds.
Across the crimson spaceways of the comic books. You know, I gotta say here, I know your line was next after this, but as far as I know, spaceways aren't crimson. I thought crimson was like a red color, and I didn't know that. I thought, you know, spaceways was usually black or something like that.
Chris, I haven't got a clue.
All right, okay. Well, anyways.
But I do believe you, and it just could be. You know what that is, Chris? That is called poetic license.
I suppose it really is, but yes. That's all due to our writers, heavily staffed writers here.
Heavily staffed
writers. At the show here, yes.
Chris, I want to start the show again with thanking everybody that a couple weeks ago participated in the CFMU fundraising drive. I think we're well over $16,000 raised, which is very close to our goal.
Yeah. It was a very successful campaign that raised over $16,000, and CFMU really is the voice of our community, and we really do want to thank everyone for their support.
Yes, and thanks again. And listen, you can still jump onto CFMU website, which you can get on a link on comicbookdaily.com, and donate.
Absolutely, yes. Anytime you want.
Yes. Chris, okay, back to the show. We're obviously going to talk about New This Week, which is always the first feature of the show.
Yes, it is Wednesday, our favorite day of the week, as we keep on saying.
And New This Week,
yes,
is brought to you by Annihilus.
Or Annihilus, whatever.
Annihilus.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. Greetings, Earthlings. I will be invading your world soon. Please begin construction of a statue to your new overlord.
And people wonder why we don't get real sponsors.
Well, this guy, I think, can pay.
Annihilus, sure. He's from the negative zone, but
is
yeah,
he?
Whatever. Yeah,
right.
Sure,
yeah. You know, so are you, apparently.
Wow. Saucer of milk, table for one, right? Walter Duralia.
All right, listen, Chris, let's get to New This Week, because that's what we do. We talk about comics that are coming out this week at your local comic book stores. And we got a couple of gems this week I want to talk about, if I can find my notes. Yes,
it's
number one,
it's
right?
FF1, yeah, and it is
which
no
is
longer the Fantastic Four.
Future-friendly, what is it, feature?
You know, it's I'm really, really disappointed in you.
James, help us out here.
What? Fortune Foundation. Yeah, I know. Future Foundation. Sorry. Yes. Sorry.
I thought
you said Fortune Foundation. My engineer is trying to tell me what all about comics here. Like he knows what he's talking about.
Future Foundation.
Number
one. And of course, Fantastic Four ended months ago with the death of Johnny Storm.
Yes, unfortunately, that did happen. Yes.
Yes. And
now we've got Spider-Man taking over the helm. Not really. It's not a replacement. Sort of a.
Well, it's not the Fantastic Four.
No,
it's
no,
the
that's
Future
right.
Foundation.
Or Future Foundation.
Right, or
whatever.
The Future Foundation. You know, I mean, here we go. Jonathan Hickman's writing.
Yes.
Okay, Steve Epting.
He was a great artist. Yeah, he did a lot of the art on a lot of Captain America issues, you know.
Right, he did some Powers with Bendis, right?
Sure, I don't know about that. I don't think you did. No,
oh, okay.
I think you're thinking of somebody else.
I retract that.
Michael Avon Oeming did a lot of the.
Oh my God! Did a lot of art for that. I was thinking of the other thing that he did. Anyway.
Right. Okay. Good.
Now, I'm leafing through it because comic book stores get their stuff on Tuesday.
Right. So we're privy.
Yeah, we're privy. So I'm leafing through it, and there's a great reveal at the end where looks like some sort of big villain is joining the Foundation.
There is a major villain joining the Future Foundation, and we don't want to tell it, all of our myriad of listeners out there who it is. So you know what? We're just going to leave it at that, and it is a bit of a shocker.
Right. So head into your local comic book store, pick up FF number one.
Yeah, don't blow the title, much like Walt.
If I stick to FF, I'm fine.
Yeah.
All right, listen. DC has Batman Inc. number 4 hitting the stands today at your local comic book store.
Yep.
Which is cool because I think Batman Inc. number 3 came out a couple weeks ago.
Yes, I believe it did, yeah.
So you have Grant Morrison, obviously, Batman Inc. Now, last weekend, we'll talk about this later at the show.
Yeah, we were at the Wizard World Toronto convention.
Right, and Yannick Paquette, who is doing the artwork, I believe, for issue number 5.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Talked to our intrepid reporter, David Deep.
Yep.
And he let out a little thing that he just got emailed during the weekend. He got emailed 12 pages of script.
Yeah,
from Morrison on issue 5. Here you go. Have this done in a week.
Yeah, apparently it's gonna be late. Everybody, just to let you know now, because
this is a CBD scoop.
Yeah, like there's no possible way.
Culture scoop.
There's no possible way that Yannick Paquette can have all these pages done in a week. Like, mm-hmm. He's going to have, like, 18 pages of story done. There's no possible way he can do all this work. So we're letting you know right now that the next issue of Batman Inc. will more than likely, like, 99.9% sure it's going to be late.
Excellent. Good, Chris. All right.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Back to Marvel.
Back.
So we're unpacking the boxes yesterday, and we're noticing the... just tons of Captain America
products. Oh, yeah. This is all about Captain America right now.
There's Captain America and Batroc, number one.
Or Batroc.
Batroc.
Batroc the Leaper.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's who I meant.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know.
And Captain America, Man Out of Time.
Man Out of Time, yes.
Finishing the five-issue miniseries. Yep. And Captain America 615.1.
Yeah, the 615.1, that's an interesting issue because that's sort of a jumping on issue for fans that want to get more involved in the Captain America regular storyline. It's sort of like a jumping on point. Now, I know in every issue of most of the major Marvel titles, they try to do a bit of a recap, but 615.1 is more of a recap. It's a full comic recap as to what's going on in the Captain America story, and it actually has. You know, if you haven't been keeping up on Cap, don't read it if you plan on reading the other ones, because unfortunately I'm a few issues behind, and I read it, and wow, you know, a major shocker at the end that I didn't know about. So
right. Now, here's the issue I have with it's not an issue, but I'm thinking, okay, Captain America has a big movie coming out really soon.
Right.
These point one initiatives by Marvel are standalone stories to try to entice new readers and stuff like that. Wouldn't it have been a better idea to put out the point one post movie? Like, if they're going for new readers, how are they going to get them right now?
I think there's enough of a buzz around the new Captain America movie that people are going to want to get involved in what's going on with Captain America now. Anyways, there's been enough great stuff happening with the Marvel franchise movies lately that people are already know about the Captain America movie, and there's already talk about it. So this is a great time to get more involved in Captain America, the comic books. And I think Marvel really hit the nail on the head with putting this comic out now.
Yeah, it's just that there's no initiative industry-wide to drive people into your local comic book store to pick up this number, this monthly comic
book. Well, so this should have been a comic that the stores should have ordered lots of copies of. And they could have pointed this out to the rest of the people saying, hey, you know what? If you want to jump on Captain America, this is the perfect time to do it, and here's the issue to do it with.
Chris, you're so smart. All right. Chris, we got a big show this week, so we're going to end new this week right now.
Right.
And we will segue into a beautiful piece of music I'm sure you have lined up.
Absolutely. Here's a little bit of the old Spider-Man bongo music. ¶¶
Yes, Tito Puentes's Bongo Spidey. I love that tune.
I'm not too sure the old Krantz Spider-Man cartoon was able to hire Tito Puentes, but Tito Puentes, is that how you say his name? Tito Puentes?
Tito Puentes,
Puentes,
yes.
Puentes, yes, right, okay. Right. But you know what? This what a perfect segue into industry news. And industry news is brought to you by the blank space between panels. Yes, the blank space between panels is a key part of the comic book. How about giving that a little bit of recognition once in a while?
Wow, Chris, you did way better on yours than I did on mine. All right, Chris, industry news, of course, is the most popular part of our show, as
it
you
seems
know.
To be, yeah. People, yeah, yeah, it's, yeah love it.
We did about a year and a half ago get that email saying, I love industry news. And since then, it's been the most popular part of
it's
our show.
It's very true, very true. You know, you know who we haven't heard from in a while, though, is our friend over in England, who wrote to us a few times, and we haven't heard from him recently. So if you happen to be still listening to it, why don't you drop us a line and let us know how you're doing?
Go on to comicbookdaily.com, hit the podcast link, and at the very bottom, there's comments. Just say, hey, I listen to your show still.
I still listen
to
your show.
Show. Yes. Right. And we would really appreciate that. All right, let's start with Garth Ennis. Now, Garth Ennis, I'm not a big fan, Chris, of Garth Ennis.
Yeah, you know what? Garth Ennis is an acquired taste. It really it depends on what you like in your comic books. If you like your comics gritty and dirty and everything that's sort of you know, violent about comics, Garth Ennis is a great writer for you. If you like you know, your regular superhero-y kind of comics, then maybe not so much, because Garth Ennis is able to take a lot of dark spins on characters. Like, you know, I've brought up the series The Preacher before. Of course, he was very well known for that. He was very well known for reinvigorating the Punisher character in the Marvel Max series and things like that. So it depends on what you're looking for in your comics.
Right. Well, he is writing Nick Fury Max with Goran Parlov doing the art.
Okay.
And now, Nick Fury... Now, from what I'm reading on the web, here's what I was reading on the web, that Nick Fury, Marvel was talking with Hollywood about doing a Nick Fury movie, and they're actually talking to George Clooney's people, because, you know, Nick Fury, silver hair and stuff
Right.
But I guess they had read an old Garth Ennis Nick Fury take, and they just said no to the project.
Well, I'm not surprised.
But, I mean, the thing, though, is like, I don't know. I mean, is it sensationalism for sensationalism's sake, or is he trying to tell a story, you know, for its own sake?
Well,
or,
you know,
or is he just trying to
shock people?
Shock people, yeah.
Yeah, Garth Ennis is very good at shocking people, and that is part of his shtick, I'll call it, you know, pushing the boundaries of what people expect out of comics. What I'm more amazed, I don't even want to, you know, let's just, you know, forget about Garth Ennis for a second. I know that was the main topic of our story. I don't know why they wouldn't go to Samuel L. Jackson to be Nick Fury, because, I mean, why would they go to George Clooney if Samuel L. Jackson has already been slated as a Nick Fury character?
Yeah,
that's what I don't understand.
That's a good point. I mean, there are two Nick Furies, right?
Yeah.
And it depends on, I guess, maybe the story you want to tell.
Yeah, I mean, right? wouldn't that make it very, very strange for the audience goers out there to say, okay, that was the you know, the Samuel L. Nick Fury, but now, hey, you know, forget about all that. Now we're going to take it to the World War II Nick Fury, and we're going to have some sort of espionage thing, and it's going to be you know, George Clooney now.
Right, right. Well, I mean, the power of comics, right? You can actually have, and the great part about Nick Fury, both are loved.
Absolutely, yeah, right? for sure.
You love that old Howling Commando Nick Fury,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that came out of the Howling Commando, and you love the Ultimate
Nick
Fury.
Yeah, absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
And so I don't know where this is going to go. I mean, it's obviously getting press. It was announced at the C2E2, actually the Bleeding Cool website had this thing on the fact that Garth Ennis is taking Nick Fury and putting it in a Max series, which is, I guess, what would Max be? I guess 18 plus.
Yeah, right? It's generally more of a more adult-themed comic book, and this, which means usually more blood, more swearing, that kind of thing.
Right.
Anybody that's ever read most of Garth Ennis's stuff, that's usually what he's known for. So, as I said, he likes to push the boundaries of what's acceptable in comics without going overboard. He seems to be able to just know people's limits.
Right. Okay. Let's move on, Chris, and talk about as we all know, probably read in the business papers, is that Borders is closing.
Yeah, not doing very well at all.
They're closing a ton of stores. And I guess people are getting hurt. Gaming companies are getting hurt. We're talking about Hasbro, NECA, USA, Opel.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
These are all creditors now with Borders that are owed a ton of money.
Right, right.
And but on top of that list is Diamond Comic Distributors.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
So these, I guess, are the people. Diamond is the people that sells these guys their graphic novels.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well,
stuff
where
like
else
that.
Are you going to get them, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And they're exclusive for now anyway with the Marvel and DC and stuff like that. So here's a huge retailer, a huge chain in the U.S. that's folding.
Yeah.
So my question was, do the readers go elsewhere? Which is I'm hoping that they do.
Yeah.
Or do they just not go? Like for example, sorry, I got the train of thought here. If Borders is the only store close to you, and you go there to pick up your graphic novel, and it closes, do you still buy graphic novels?
For sure. You know what? First of all, I think maybe that's part of the problem is that they weren't going to Borders in the first place, which is maybe one of the reasons why they're closing. Like, they didn't have the kind of sales that they wanted. Now, Borders sells music, graphic novels, books, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think the advent of iTunes, maybe people are getting their music down through the internet. Places like Amazon are probably hurting them a little bit as well. I don't think that maybe
Barnes and Noble.
You know, I think that maybe people are traditionally. I think people aren't necessarily going to Barnes and Noble, but to Borders for their trade paperbacks, because really a lot of times you know what it's like when you go into a comic book store. There's a culture involved in going to the comic book store. You go there. And you get to talk to somebody who knows a little bit about what's going on in the comic book industry. You know, it's a bit of a social event. Whereas if you go to Borders, you're just there strictly to kind of grab your stuff and leave.
Yeah, you're right, Chris. Nobody at Borders is upselling you to read Why the Last Man or to read Walking Dead.
Right.
Or, oh, man, hey, did you check out the latest Brubaker or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, and you're right. And I think that's where the local comic book shops are winning the battle.
For sure. Now, you might get lucky. You might get lucky and go there, and you'll have some employee there that might know a little bit about comics or graphic novels and maybe steer you in the right direction. But you got to remember, these employees have to know a little bit about music, a little bit about novels, a little bit about graphic novels, a little bit about movies. Like, they have to know a little bit about everything. And they're a one-stop shop for everything there. Whereas when you go to a comic book shop, you're there for comic books, graphic novels, toys, all that kind of stuff. And you know the staff is going to know what they're talking about.
Right. Well, I mean, my hope is, and from what you're explaining, it looks like it's going to be that, is that these people do just filter off into their local comic book shops, into Amazon, into Barnes and Nobles.
Yeah.
And I mean, Diamond, though, see, the problem, we have all our eggs in one basket, right? As a local comic book industry, we have Diamond as the main guy. Yeah. And when they're owed $3.9 million from a credit, from Barnes, Borders, you're always concerned that they're viable. You want Diamond to be a healthy company to make sure the local comic book stores.
I don't think that, I mean, although $3.5 million or $3.9 million, whatever it was you said, I think realizing that that's a ton of money, I don't think that's going to be enough to shut down Diamond, though. I don't think that that's even because that they owe them a lot of money, Diamond's not going to hurt because of it, because they do have the monopoly on Dark Horse, Image, Marvel, and DC, right? So they're, unfortunately, you can't go anywhere else.
You're right. And you know what? Diamond has, because if they're old stuff, they can go and buy like just a ton of those really expensive pens, you know, like at Borders.
That's right.
Like $80 pens.
Exactly.
Take the whole thing,
sure.
You can't pay me money. Yeah. I'm taking these pens.
I'm taking all these pens. That's right. Yeah,
hey, absolutely. Listen. Superhero movie characters. We have confirmation. I know we talked about it about a month ago about The Amazing Spider-Man, the new movie.
Yep.
It's confirmed now that the villain will be Dr. Kurt Connors.
Cool. Who is also the Lizard.
Right. Yep. And according to the website there, this guy Reese Ifans is expected to play is going to play the role.
I'm not even sure myself, but I think it's pronounced Riz, but you know,
Reese Ifans.
Yes.
Anyway, he's going to play Doc Dr. Connors the Lizard.
Doc Ock.
That wouldn't be right.
Dr. Connors, yes.
So what do you think? I mean, the Lizard, is that a good pick?
Well, you know what? He's a classic character of the Spider-Man canon of villains, right? So he's pretty classic. I think, you know, they've already done, you know, Green Goblin. They've already done Doc Ock. I don't know how well Mysterio would do on the big screen, even though he is probably one of the earliest Spider-Man villains. You can't do Dr. Doom because Dr. Doom's entrenched in the Fantastic Four. You know, Venom's been done already. You can't do him. So, you know, Sandman's been done already. You can't do him. So,
right.
So who's the next biggest character? I mean, you've got Electro left over. You've got, Dr. Connors, who the Lizard,
the Vulture, maybe
you've got the Vulture, who right. You know, Vulture's like a thief, right? He's not he's kind of a lame-ish criminal. So you've got the Rhino, who would probably be good.
That would be good.
Yeah,
that would be good.
You know, he would be good, but I think as far as movie wise, I think it's sometimes tough to suspend your disbelief. And I think Dr. Connors and the Lizard would probably be a good bet.
Right. I think maybe in the one after that, they could go with Kraven.
Then go with somebody a little more crazy, like Rhino or Kraven or something like that. Kraven would be awesome.
Yeah, I think that would
Kraven
be a
would
good
be great. Yeah,
I think
for sure.
That would be great. All right. Hey, so all the rage is Thor.
Yeah.
Thor, the new movie coming out.
Thor is all over the place. You know, even at the show we were at, there was hammers all over the place and comics.
Don't hurt him, Hammer.
Yeah. There's all kinds of statues and toys and stuff like that coming out, so it's all over the place.
Right. So the new Kenneth Branagh movie.
Yep. I like the way he said that.
Yeah. So anyway, there's this company, and it's called Cenotype.com.
Yep.
And they are selling a commemorative collectible. Thor tickets.
Yeah, I read about that. Yeah, I read about that on the internet. Now, do you have the write up there? Do you want to explain what this is all about?
Well, yeah, they're giving they got Heimdall, they got Destroyer, they got Sif, they got Odin, they got Loki, they got Thor.
Right.
And so with the commemorative ticket, you get a cell.
Yeah.
I guess what it is.
You get a piece of celluloid of the film, right? So you get a piece of the film, a frame of the film with that ticket. So you can actually shine it up to the light and say, oh, here's the part where Thor is,
hitting
somebody. Or here's a picture of the hammer.
Right.
Right. Like, who knows what you're going to actually get out of it.
So, but apparently you can't even use these tickets because they're not real. They're just commemorative tickets.
It's just a fun keepsake.
Right. And then you get actual receipts that you can take into the movie theater to get yourself in.
Right. Right. Right.
So, I mean, okay. I mean, do we remember? I think Disney did this before with the if you go into the big malls and they have the Disney store.
Yeah, yeah.
They have cells from the
yes,
original movies.
Yes, they do, yeah. And Star Wars has done that, where you can buy an actual piece of the Star Wars film. I mean, it's nothing new. The fact that it's being sort of amalgamated with a purchase of a ticket is somewhat new. They've never done it quite like this before. Usually they just do it as a commemorative keepsake after you go to the movie and you buy it at some store like Walmart or something like that, and it's encased in plastic. And you now have this piece of film forever and ever. And they say it's a limited edition of, 20 billion.
Right. Yes. And look for it on eBay soon.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. All right. Chris, Stephen King, are you a fan?
You know, I've never been a huge fan of Stephen King. He's one of those writers that I never really caught on with. Now, I know friends of mine, they have all the books. They have all the hardcovers. They love everything that he's done. They've gone out and bought the Dark Tower series, the Dark Tower comics, all that kind of stuff. I, myself, am not a huge fan.
Right. Well, okay.
But I'm in the minority, I think.
Well, I think you are. I mean, he sells trillions of books.
Yeah.
He has a son named Joe Hill. Joe Hill writes for IDW, I believe. He does Lock and Key.
Right.
Which is actually a very good selling title at the shop. They, together, it looks like they will be writing an episode of Walking Dead.
Which I think is pretty cool. I mean, here you got a classic horror writer writing a brand new horror TV series with his son, who happens to be a comic book writer, and the series happens to be about a comic book. So it's all fitting in very nicely.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're looking at maybe near the end of season two or the beginning of season three.
Yeah.
I guess my question is, it wasn't clear when I read the report on the website, is will they be just reinterpreting or editing or rewriting
script from Walking Dead?
Well, yeah. I mean,
or will they be creating a tangent story?
Oh, well, that's possible. I mean, usually they just sort of go along with the same story and write a different take on it. Like, it's like when you have a different director write the same story, but it's their own little take. Now, it would be even better if there was, like, a tangent story to kind of stretch out the series a little, because I know the last season only ran 6 episodes, and I think the next season's going to have 12 or 13. So maybe they're in order to kind of flesh out things a little bit more.
That's good, Chris. Flesh out.
Flesh out. Did you like that?
Yeah, I did. I liked that.
A little take on the, you know, the whole eating flesh. Anyways, in order to, expand the Walking Dead TV series, they may be getting them to, write a sideline story.
Yeah, that would be great. And I think, hey, listen, as far as publicity goes,
yeah.
As far as now we know that almost anything Stephen King puts his name to, I mean, he went in with Marvel and he did the all of his Dark Tower stuff,
yeah, yeah.
And he did his I forget what the there was a I don't know the Stand, I think,
yeah,
it was,
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
And that has been extremely successful for Marvel, especially in the graphic novel format.
Yes,
like once the story arc is done, they bind it into graphic novel, and those things still sell.
Oh, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So Stephen King is a draw. Stephen King.
It seems like, you know, it's what I find is what's really great is that Stephen King and, you know, other big name writers are now really getting involved in the comic industry. Whereas I think they were always fans for a long time, but comics never had the clout to say that, hey, we're big enough that we can draw in these kind of professionals, you know, I don't even want to say professionals because they're all professionals, but there's big name professionals into the comic book industry, because it was always seen as sort of like a, you know, a meant for kids kind of forum. Whereas now finally we're getting guys like Scott Card, who did the
Orson Scott Card
who did the Iron Man series, and of course he did Ender's Game. We've got Stephen King. You know, we've got all these sort of bigger name science fiction and horror writers now entering in the comic book field as well. And we've talked about that before, which is great.
Right. Excellent. So I'm looking forward to it. And I think it's going to be a good injection of energy into an already energetic Walking Dead.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I think last week or the week before, we mentioned that the Sandman TV series
was on hiatus or was dead in the water.
Well, apparently, yeah. It is not dead.
Yes.
It is still moving forward. It's just that Eric Kripke guy.
Oh my God! You said it right this time. Yeah, I'm shocked.
He's no longer attached to the project, but the project itself
is still moving ahead.
It's still moving ahead. I still think, though, the cable telling the story over what is it? I think it's 10 graphic novels that Sandman encompasses,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Telling it over 2 or 3 years is going to work brilliantly.
Absolutely.
If it's on cable,
yeah.
If it's very kind of adult themed, because it is an adult themed.
It has to be,
book,
yeah. It has right? to be. The nature of it. I mean, you're talking with demons and all these kind of scary type things, and there's all kinds of really great ideas in the graphic novels that wouldn't translate to an after school special kind of thing. Although that would be kind of funny.
That would be cool,
yeah,
too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Sesame Street. Yes.
Yeah. Big Bird! Count, and Death can talk about numbers. Yeah.
Hey, C2E2 went on last weekend. That was in Chicago, the big Chicago Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Attendance there was up 24% over the year before.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So Reed Exhibition reported that there was 34,000-plus attendees to the C2E2 this year in Chicago versus 27,500 the year before.
Right.
Now, you and I have never been to C2E2.
No, no.
We've been to many Wizard World Chicago shows.
And I mean, you know, we've also gone to the Chicago Comic-Con before it was Wizard World.
You're right.
You know, we had gone to those and then it turned into Wizard World. But we've never actually been to C2E2. And you know, we didn't get a chance to go last year or this year. We were at the Wizard World convention in Toronto this year, so we were a little bit tied up.
Right.
But you know, one of these years we really got to get to C2E2 and see what it's all about.
Now, I was reading a bit about it before it happened, and it seems like the C2E2, because they have a thing in New York. I think they have the Reed exhibition.
Yeah.
They have the big New York one,
yeah.
And then they have the big Chicago one.
Yeah.
It seems on the surface very corporate.
It does, yes.
You have Diamond doing their big kind of panels. You have, I don't know, Marvel and DC doing their panels.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It's becoming like mini versions of the San Diego Comic-Con where they have panels, they have releases, they're going to talk about what's going on, they're going to have movie premieres and all that kind of stuff. It's becoming more of a media event than just comic book event, right? And I think that's one of the good things that Wizard World is still trying to maintain is the sheer comicness of it, right? I mean, this last the show we were at on the weekend, it had lots of comic book dealers. It had people related to comic books. So, like, for example, they had Lando Calrissian, also known as Billy Dee Williams, was there. You know, we had lots of comic book kind of, you know, science fiction guys there. It wasn't just about it was just mainly about comic books and celebrating comic books, right?
Right.
Whereas sometimes with those other kind of shows, it becomes a big media event and launching of toys and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you and I both know, we won't mention his name, but there's a very famous old comic book dealer.
Yes.
Who once told us, who always goes to San Diego, the big Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And I talked to him, I don't know, a couple months ago about San Diego, and I go, you know, how was San Diego? And basically he goes, you know, for people that are just trying to get away from the throng,
yeah,
trying to get away from the crowd, what they do is they duck into the old comic yeah. book section,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
because
if you want to get away from the crowds when you go to San Diego, go to the comic section.
So if you want to get away from the crowds at the San Diego Comic Con, go into the comic book section. Because that's where nobody is, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of ridiculous.
Right. All right. Chris, I don't know, but it's a great segue into Wizard World.
Yes. Well, you know, Wizard World, as we said earlier, did go on in this last weekend.
Yes. Now, you and I were both there. Everybody from Comic Book Daily was there. Lots and lots of content up at comicbookdaily.com about the show. So log on and check it all out. What were your thoughts on the show?
Oh, you know, I quite enjoy the show, believe it or not. I had a different outlook this time. I didn't, unfortunately, get a chance to really, you know, I wasn't there as a buyer. I was there as to kind of go and talk to guests and to have a good time and that kind of thing. And I got a chance to really go around and meet a lot of great people, a lot of great artists and writers. And so I had a really good time in doing that, you know. One of the things that I'm going to start writing about on Comic Book Daily is I'm going to be talking a little bit more about cosplay and the people that got involved in cosplay and that kind of thing. So you can look forward to that. And I talked to a few different people who are interested in that kind of stuff, and it was really great to see people who are so passionate about cosplay and that kind of thing. Now at the same time, I had a chance to talk to a few different writers and artists. I met Jesus Marino, who is from Spain.
Jesus Marino.
Who's from Spain. He does
very nice man. I think I was at the
really,
table
yeah,
with
a really nice guy. He does JSA or has done a few issues of JSA.
He did a great, you commissioned him for a piece, and he did a beautiful rendition of Captain America.
Yeah, absolutely stunning. And that's going to be framed up on my walls sometime soon. You know, really, really nice guy. It's, you know, really humble, really, like, you know, it's funny. A lot of these guys, you know, when you ask to do a commission of some of your favorite characters, a lot of times they will say, you know, oh, well, can you get me some reference material or something like that? And so I know it's Captain America, but, you know, not necessarily everybody knows exactly how Captain America's costume looks. So I asked him, I said, you know, can you do a Captain America for me? And he said, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. And then I said, do you need some reference material? And he's like, well, you want Captain America, right? You want the classic Captain America? And I said, yeah. He goes, oh, no problem. You know, like, yeah, like, are you kidding me?
Come back in 2 minutes.
Yeah, you know, he was great. He was great. And you know what was really great about that is I didn't realize it at the time when I was talking to him, but he's actually lives in Spain, and so he was on his way back to Spain in like a couple of hours. So here's a guy that I may never get a chance to see again, and you know, I got a chance to meet him and talk to him at the Wizard World convention, and he was a great guy. And if you didn't get a chance to see him and talk to him, you really missed out on something special.
Yeah, he is a huge Rafael Nadal fan as well.
nice.
Now, you know what? The show, my thoughts on the show was that it was an extremely well attended show. Saturday was extremely busy. My critique of the show would have been that there weren't enough old comic book dealers, and I'm an old comic book dealer, so and I didn't set up, so no. I can't, you know, I shouldn't yell, but, customers, but you know what? It dawned on me while I was there that, you know what? Who needs old comic book dealers?
That's a good point. I mean,
going back to the Harley thing, yeah. I'm sorry, to the Harley Yee thing, who was the dealer that told us the San Diego.
The guy
thing.
Whose name you weren't going to mention.
Yeah, good job. But you know, he's the guy that said, if you're tired and you need a rest, duck into the old comic section. So maybe the comic book cons have outgrown the comic book dealers.
That's a good point. You know, not everybody is interested in collecting old comics anymore, especially the younger generations who, you know, comic books are the old stuff is getting expensive. You know, they're outpricing themselves for new collectors, right? Like, if I was just starting in this industry, there's no possible way that I can go out and say, oh, okay, I'm going to buy a Spider-Man number one. You know, did one not just sell for, you know, or sorry, not the first appearance of Spider-Man just sold for over $1 million.
Right.
Like, you know, not a lot of people have that kind of cash to spend on collectibles.
Yeah, but once you knock that first one off for a mil, then the rest are cheaper.
Well, yeah, I guess so. You know, and I mean, I came close to having a pretty good run on Spidey myself, and I ended up selling them. But you know what? Like, there's no way I could even years ago could have afforded an Amazing One or an AF one. Or AF-15.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a point well taken, and I think I met a few people, especially parents with their kids. They're walking through from the Hamilton area where we're from.
Yeah.
Hey Walter, how are you? You know, it's my first convention I've been to with my son. I love it.
Yeah. Right?
It's dawning on me. Wait a minute. You know, people are loving the experience of going to a place where not only can you find several dealers with old comics,
yeah.
several dealers with new comics and graphic novels, but everything that comes with the hobby, namely, celebrities,
yep.
Creators that like for yep. do sketches yep. for you and stuff like that. As you said before, the cosplay with people dressing up, and it is a visual spectacle.
Yeah, it really was. You know, I really, this was a show that started out as we used to call it the Paradise Convention because our good friends over at Paradise Comics,
Peter Dixon,
he started the show, and then it was bought out by Wizard World. Now, it started out the way he was running it was mainly as a comic convention. It was strictly comics. There was no stars, there was no guests or anything like that. And this
there were
is
comic creators and comic dealers.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, that's it. And this has evolved into more of a media event. But not so much that that the comics have been overtaken by the media. You know, we had a chance to see a number of different Star Wars guests. We had the guy that played Anakin Skywalker. We had the guy that played Chewbacca and Billy Dee Williams, who was Lando, as well as we had Julie Benz there, and we had a number of different other Battlestar Galactica people there, and all kinds of really great named stars who are involved in science fiction or in Buffy and things like that, all that kind of stuff. And so we've got that aspect. And then you've got the dealers. You've got old comic book dealers and new comic book dealers. And you had guys that sell nothing but T-shirts. And then you have all the artists and all the writers. And then you've got all the live action and live action cosplay people. There are people there that were set up just to kind of promote, you know, dressing up and all that kind of stuff. So there's all people walking around like Spider-Man. And
well, Chris, very exciting for you. I know right behind our booth, Comic Book Daily had a booth. Right behind us were the roller derby girls.
Yes, they were. Yes, and they're going to be on our show.
Yes, they are. And yeah. I was just going to talk about the fact that you and I weren't just pretty faces there.
No,
kissing babies.
We were the only pretty faces
right.
there. Yeah,
we were actually working hard and lining up some pretty hip, cool guests for Comic Culture in the coming weeks.
Yeah, we will,
and
absolutely.
And one of those is the
Roller Girls from Toronto, yeah. And, you know, I went up to them, and because I was like, why are these Roller Girls here? And I went up to them, I said, you know, what's the deal here, guys? Like, why are you here? And they said, well, you know what? We really love comics. We think that the culture of comics is you know, accepting of new kind of sports and things like that, like roller derby, and we think that it would be a really great place to be involved with. And you know, there's a lot of lot to be said for that. I mean, comics is a great way of expanding people's horizons and things like that, and so we're going to have them on the show.
Right, and I think you talked to Leanna Kay.
To Leanna Kay,
and I think she mentioned she'd like to be on the
show. Yeah, Leanna Kay, I've known Leanna Kay for a little while now. She is she bills herself as sort of like the super fan kind of thing, but she's really somebody who also embraces and promotes the whole cosplay thing, and she was the other half of the Ed the Sock show.
Right.
And you know, she's going to be on the show as well, on our show, and she's going to talk to me a little bit about cosplay and just about being a fan and being a woman in the comic book industry and that kind of stuff. And you know, she was great. She's going to be on the show too.
Yeah, and I think, I'm not sure, but I think I saw you talking to Stan Lee in the corner.
Sadly, that was just one of those cardboard cutouts.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was
far away.
Yeah, but you know what? We did have a few other big name guests, I want to say. You know, I talked to Dale Keown, who was one of the artists of the Hulk for a number of years, and he did his own comic called The Pit for Image Comics. He wants to be on the show. The guys from Kill Shakespeare want to be on the show.
Oh, great.
You know, so like there's lots of people that are more than willing to come onto the show. Leonard Kirk, who has, you know, done all kinds of stuff, he wants to be on the show.
You know what? And as many people as want to be on the show, I think there's even more people listening that want to hear somebody else other than you and me talk.
You know, I don't blame them.
Right.
I mean, well, listen.
Sorry, Chris. We'll cut that off. I forgot to mention I had another piece of news.
Oh, sorry.
Of movie news, I guess, is the on the Dark Knight Rises. Variety is reporting that Joseph Gordon-Levitt will play Alberto Falcone, aka Holiday Killer,
yes,
son of Carmine Falcone,
yes,
in the new movie.
Yes, now Falcone. Now wait a second. Now we've got our what do you call it? The
producer. Yeah.
His last name is Falcone.
Anthony
is there any
Falcone? Now I think Anthony mentioned that his mom's cousin and Alberto Falcone are like somehow related.
Well, that's very strange. But you know what's even stranger than that is the fact that Rob Zombie was able to make a song out of the comic book character called The Creeper. And here it is, Meet the Creeper.
I'm not afraid of the dark.
Yes, that was Josie and the Pussycats doing Meet the Creeper.
That, you know, she's really going to lay off the cigarettes.
Cigars. And a great, great, great segue into our new, our next feature, which is brought to you by the Toronto Comic Con's Fan Appreciation Show, happening April 9th and 10th at the Metro Toronto Convention Center on Front Street. All fans get in free at the Fan Appreciation Show. Check out hobbystar.com for more info, and comicbookdaily.com will have a booth.
Did we get paid for that plug? I don't remember getting any kind of check for that.
We actually got a free
table. Oh, okay. Good to know. Okay. Sorry.
Hush. All right, Chris. Takes us into the topic, which we got cut off last week talking about.
Yes, we did, yes.
Which we were actually talking about a bit with the Wizard World show.
Yep.
And we're in full con season.
Full con mode.
Our last sponsor was another Comic Con.
Yeah. And did you, well, I know you're talking about, we're talking about cons. Before I forget, if you're interested in knowing about all the cons that are going on in North America, you can go to comicbookdaily.com, and there's actually one of the postings has a listing of almost all the conventions going on in North America, so you can go and check it out. It's all in calendar order.
Right.
So if you know you're going to be somewhere at a certain time, you can check out the dates and see when, say for example, the Fan Expo is going to be, or WonderCon or MegaCon or something like that. So you can go on to comicbookdaily.com and check that out.
Right. And if you haven't been, people, you owe it to yourself to go at least once this year to a comic book show.
Yeah.
Wherever you're listening, find a show that's coming to your area and go. They are a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And especially if you have a family, even by yourself, even with your girlfriend, whatever, it is a great place to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. You know what? It's a great experience because you're never going to go to anywhere like that again. You're going
right.
to where you walk around and there's people dressed up. There's, you know.
You never may want to go to anywhere like that again.
Well, you know, let them decide that.
All right. Now, Chris, today we're going to talk about where this is an uncomfortable. A lot of the people going to a Comic-Con are young.
Yes.
Okay. And my experience is younger people don't like to haggle as much.
No.
Haggling, of course, is the art of getting something for less than the sticker price.
That's right, yeah.
Right. So you go to a comic book convention and you see a comic book you like and the dealer has $20 on it. And,
yeah.
You know, your intention, well, I really want that book.
Yeah.
Here's my $20.
Yeah, you know, you can't do that.
No, you don't have to do that.
No, do not do that. Whatever you do, do not do that.
Yes, you offer the guy two.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe offer him 10.
Right, offer him 10.
Yeah.
So there is an art to haggling. The first principle of haggling is that you have to realize that if it is a collectible, people, if it is a collectible, then the person selling it has room to come down off the sticker price.
Right. And however, though, you know, the amount of room and the amount he's willing to is going to depend on the demand for that book, the demand, you know, how old it is, all that kind of stuff, right? So there's a little bit of an art to it. Now, let's say, for example, if you were going to buy something from me,
right?
You know, let's say I had a book.
Yeah.
Right. Let's say I had
Amazing Fantasy number 15.
Sure.
First appearance of Spider-Man.
Yeah. Let's say I have that and I've got it for $1,000. It's a beat up, crappy, chewed up, dog-eared. No one's ever going to want it, but hey, it's the first appearance.
Right. So basically, what you have to do is, can I see that Amazing Fantasy 15, sir?
Oh yeah, sure. Here you go.
Oh wow, that's pretty chewed.
Well, yeah, it's true. But you know what? It is the first appearance of Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes. Sir, I'm sorry, but you also have it like at 78 times above the guide value here.
Well, that's true, but you know, it's hard to get, so you know, you could try to find it somewhere
else.
Yeah,
it's also hard to sell at the price you have it at.
That's very true. But,
so I'll tell you what, I'll give you $500 for it.
Oh, you know what? I don't think I could do 500. I got more than 500 into it. You know?
I see. Yeah. What would you take? What's the best you can do for me on that book?
Unless you have it for $950.
$950.
Yeah.
Let me think on that. Okay. And I walk away.
Right.
So you have to have the power to walk away. You have to have the power to realize that anything at that con are things that you want and are not things that you need.
Now, conversely, let's just roll the tape back for a second here.
Roll it back.
Now, what if I had said, okay, so go ahead, offer me the 500.
I'll give you 500 for it.
I can't do 500. You know, I've got a little bit more than that involved. How about, you know, 800?
800. And you know what? And at that point, I may have in my mind that I was willing to pay 7 or something right. like that. So there's nothing wrong with going, 8's a little too high, but how about 7?
You know what? I don't know. Do you have the money on you? Is it cash?
I have cash.
Cash.
Which is, by the way, a tip that we gave last week. Bring cash, because cash is king.
Yeah. You know what? You look like you're an upstanding fellow. Sure, why not? I'll let you have it.
And so there's a successful transaction based on cash, based on haggling.
Yeah.
You got to remember that these guys do not want to take this book home. Now, Chris and I picked a really bad example with Amazing Fantasy 15 because dealers may be able to hold the line on
sure,
that price
sure,
as much
yeah.
as they can. But, you know, 99% of the comics yeah. that are out there on the wall, they don't want to take home.
I got a funny story about haggling. It's one of my all time greatest haggling stories. I was in the process of trying to collect all the Power Girl appearances, and there was one where, it was like the death of Batman, Adventure Comics, like 318 or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was one of the last issues of Power Girl that I was trying to find. And here's a guy, so my buddy and I, we were in Pittsburgh, and we go up to him, and I said, okay, well, how much do you want for it? And it was like $20 or something. He goes, I want $20. I said, oh, okay, I'll give you 10. And he goes, no, I can't do 10. How about 15? I said, how about 12? He goes, $13. I said, no, I'll give you 12. No, 13. And it went on like this for 15 minutes. I mean, we're like, okay, look at this corner here. Look how badly this corner is here. Right. I'm telling you, I'm not giving you more than 12. He's right. like, no. This is a hard book to get. Clearly, if you want, it's got Batman, it's got Aquaman, it's got all these characters. I'm not taking any more than 13. It went on for like 20 minutes.
Right.
And so finally, my buddy was like, I'll give you the other dollar.
Yeah, right.
And so this guy's like, he was looking at my buddy, but pointing at me, and he goes, I don't want your dollar. I want his dollar. So it came down to not even the fact that it was about the dollar anymore. It was about winning the argument.
That's right.
Winning the deal.
That is
right?
great.
So, you know, that it's some, and this is the kind of thing that, you know, have fun with it.
Yes.
But be prepared to walk away, but have fun with it.
Yeah, and be prepared to walk. And it does not just apply to comic books. It applies to toys. It applies
anything.
Yeah, anything, really. And you have to kind of develop a bit of a thick skin. You know, and it's like, don't be shy, right?
Yeah, for
don't
sure.
be shy.
For sure.
Comic book conventions also are a great place to network.
And look around.
Yes.
But if you happen to see that book that you've never seen before, I remember seeing old treasuries and stuff like that you don't see ever.
Right.
If you happen to see something, don't necessarily let it go. Don't say to yourself, I'll come back for it, because it might be gone.
You can still ask for a break.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
But if you really want it and they don't give you a break, just go ahead and get it anyways. You might not see it again.
Right. Now, sorry. The next point we're going to talk about, because we're running out of time, is the networking aspect of it. So you are a fan of a certain media, like you're a fan of comic books, the whole comic book culture. You are heading to a place that is filled with thousands upon thousands of people that are of the same like mind.
For sure, yeah, absolutely. They're all like-minded individuals, yeah.
Right, so be prepared to meet contacts, to get emails, have Facebook friends, to all that kind of stuff at these shows. Don't be shy. Go into areas of your comfort and you'll say hi. Oh, can I have this picture? Oh, you know, I think your costume is great.
Yeah, for sure, for
sure. Be active at that convention in your interest.
Yeah, the more you involve yourself into the show, the better time you're going to end up having.
Exactly.
Because this is a great time to, you know, for the old adage, the more you put out, the more you're going to get back, right? Like, it really is a great networking experience.
And you know what? I'm going to end it at I think the most important con tip is stay hydrated.
Yeah, you know what? Bring water for sure, because you know if for
bring
no,
your own.
If for no other reason, you don't want to pay the $3.50 $4 for a bottle of water, right?
Right.
So you know,
and wear army pants where you can fit like a whole ton of stuff down your legs, stuff a submarine on the left side, a water bottle on the right.
Yeah, that's right.
You'll save yourself. I think you know you might be able to afford an Amazing Fantasy 15 just by the food savings you're going to make.
That's probably Well, unfortunately, Walt, that is all the time we have for today.
Wow, already?
Yeah, already.
Chris, where does the time go?
Already, I know. It's hard to believe.
Well, Chris, Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by James McIntosh. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link and add your comments in the comments field at the bottom.
Especially for our friends over across the great pond over
the
there.
Pond. Yes.
Please let us know how you're doing, and we'd love to hear from you again.
Support your local comic book shop. See everyone next week.